Something for the weekend. Good morning. It's Saturday. It's Trina, and I'm only thrilled to have Brona Gallagher on the line. Good morning, Brona. How are you?
I'm very well, Trina. How are you?
Jeez, you don't lose that accent at all, do you? Even though you're probably in London most of the time.
Well, I'm in Dublin most of the time. Well, I have been in Dublin and Derry for the last 6 months, but I do spend a lot of time in London as well. I'm very proud of my Derry accent. and it's getting stronger as you get older, probably.
I know. And then, of course, the success of Derry Girls on the telly. Everyone wants to be from Derry now.
No, it's an exclusive club. Sorry. Only the Derry Girls. The real Derry Girls know who they are. We're all in Derry Girls. Somebody said to me today, would you not love to be in Derry Girls? I was like, well, I kind of feel like I am.
Well, come here. Talking about the Derry thing. You nicked my accent for a while there, the dub accent in The Commitments. So you can
absolutely
talk.
That's my second accent.
How did you learn? I hate to go back to something so many years ago, but you can't really avoid the elephant in the room. How did you learn that accent?
Well, it's just such a brilliant accent, isn't it? You know, you kind of it's such a sort of musical accent. Like a lot of the Irish accents that we have, people just love to do them. I just think there's so much music there. So I mean, it was easy enough, really. I mean, I've got an ear for accents and thinking I'm just such a, you know, I've always been a show off as a kid, sort of impersonating people that spoke differently. But it was fairly, you know, there's obviously this little tunings and stuff in the accent that you have to be careful of, and certain vowels and stuff. But I mean, I asked just the other cast members and they kept me right, really. They were the sort of days before dialect coaches, so you were just asking the Northsiders and the cast, I'm doing this right.
Careful now, I'm a Northsider, careful.
Oh, so am I. I'm a Northsider too. I'm the most Northsider you ever met. I'm Derry.
It's hard to believe, actually, that you were only 17 when you did The Commitments, and here we are 10 years later.
How did that happen? No, I know. When we met them initially, I was 17 now when I met Parker, God rest him, and when we got the parts and we started filming, I just turned 18 then, yeah.
You wouldn't even be able to do full-time hours, I don't think, if that were now.
Well, when I started off, I was 17. I did a couple of films in the north, one about the Guildford Four, Dear Sarah, and then I did, the first film I did, I just turned 17. You have sort of, you know, chaperones around on set and stuff like that for younger people. No, we were very well looked after. David Walls, John, you know, and I was very well looked after. There was nobody taking advantage of young people at the time or anything like that. Otherwise, no, we were so well looked after. My God, it was a joy from start to finish, the whole experience, you know.
I'd say then, back then, that all the friends and all in Derry probably thought you were a millionaire, did they, overnight, because you're in a film.
That's hilarious. You know, my Derry Girls came down to me during the film, because we used to have a gang called the Beastie Girls, and we were just maybe pals in school, and a lot of us are still in contact. So they all came down and stayed with me in Drury's Hotel. I'm in Royal Hubbard's house over the weekend during the film, and so that was great. But they thought I was a millionaire. I think they still think I'm a millionaire. They have actually more money than a lot of them are high positioning teachers and lawyers, so they have more money than me. They don't realise that, but there you go.
And of course, your character Bernie, she was the one working in the chipper van, very glamorous life, and always with the siblings around her and always having to mind them. I always wondered, were any of those babies her babies, or they were all siblings?
No, they were all her siblings.
Okay, always changing nappies all the time. It was just brilliant, though, wasn't it? Looking back, I mean, what a film to
it
be
was
very
a part precious of. Time, yep.
So you went on then, Brona, to do huge films. We're talking Pulp Fiction, Star Wars, Sherlock Holmes. When it comes then to the acting and the singing, is there one that you prefer over the other?
I love both. You know, I'm very lucky. I don't take for granted working 30 years later, you know, still working in the fields that I love. So I love them both for different reasons, you know. And it's all about people, really, at the end of the day. There's certain people that you work with, and some directors are, you know, just mind-blowing to work with, and other artists that you work with. So, you know, I get to meet the most extraordinary people and making friends, you know, on jobs all over the place. And it's a real honour to do that. So I love both. I mean, I do love singing. I love writing my own music. I love working with my own band. That has a great sense of satisfaction when it's something that's come from your own thinking, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess, you know, but I love both, but I do, I suppose, I get great satisfaction from writing my own music and playing gigs live. You know, the live gigs are, to me, kind of, you know, the ultimate challenge. And, you know, music is my great love, you know.
You need great confidence, though, don't you, when you're going on stage? Because you just don't know what's going to happen. You could go out there and get a terrible crowd who are very hard to please. So it's terrifying as well, doing that. But I would imagine auditions can be terrifying, too.
It is, but I mean, it's all, you know, it's part of the buzz, the adrenaline, the actual why we do it, the terror we put ourselves through. But it's all part of the high at the end of the night when you've done it and you know you've had a great gig and you've really entertained people. You know, And that every entertainer goes through that. And the most entertainers are unconfident people. You know, they're very insecure people that are full of self-doubt that we all can dip in and out of that, you know. But then, you know, it's all part of it. But I think, you know, if you just know that you're human, you know, you're a human being and you're not always going to feel like you're on top of the world, you know, but you just got to keep going, you know, just ride with it. And maybe, you know, if you do feel that way, put that into your work and try and incorporate it in the actual, in your writing sometimes, you know, because, I mean, that's what people relate to. It's the human in me. You know, I think Bruce Springsteen has really nailed it with his recent book, Born to Run, where he focuses so much on his journey with his mental health, which has been, you know, a really, really difficult battle. People have really responded to it because it's obviously Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
He's, you know, an iconic rock star, but, you know, he suffered severe depression and horrendous self-doubt through his career. And I think, you know, it was such an incredibly courageous book to release, but something that people can really relate to. And, you know, because so many people suffer with their mental health, and especially during an experience like this pandemic where people were just cocooned and cabin fever and all that, you know. So I think art and people being honest, that's what people relate to, you know.
Absolutely.
People can find comfort in that and they can find strength.
Well, Brona, we're going to play your new single. You got a brand new single, just came out yesterday. It's called Truth or Dare. It's a bit of fun as well. I've been having a look at the video there. So we're going to play that and then come back to you. We can tell us all about that one. So here it is, Brona Gallagher, Truth or Dare on Classic Hits.
You took me right back to the start. Oh, she done a number on you. She really broke your heart. All you wanna know now is how I do it on my own. You can't stand to be alone. I'm an open heart. Now we're miles apart, just crumbling. Was there really something there? No, how many times I care. Was it truth or dare? Just a game to you, baby. You don't believe a word I say. I went a little bit crazy. Just a game of truth or dare.
And we're chatting to the fabulous Brona Gallagher. She just released her brand new single yesterday. It's called Truth or Dare. Brona, love it. It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, we had good fun with it, you know, and we had it there sitting and we just thought we're going to release this now. We don't know when we're going to be gigging again, or none of us know what's happening with, you know, the live music world. You know, everything's in such a concerned state, you know, about this. And we just have to sort of keep trying to release positive work out in there. And, you know, the song is uplifting, even though it's kind of got a sentimental, sad kind of, you know, hook. But it's, you know, it's a joyous 3 minutes. And really, you know, in my heart, I kind of think, well, if I can bring people 3 minutes of a bit of fun. And I just got a lovely message yesterday from a friend. And she said, that's the happiest 3 minutes of my day.
Aww,
so, you know, that's
yeah.
kind of where we're at. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's very catchy.
Yeah, you know, the video, we released the video and it's good fun and it's, you know, very current to what's happening now with the social distancing, and I think it'll give people a giggle. You know, I'm surrounded by so many wonderful friends and musicians that are really, really struggling, you know, and they're trying to make ends meet, and, you know, the kids are all going back to school September, and, you know, that's extremely expensive time for parents as well, and the people in the music sector, it's really hard going. So if we can generate some work by getting airplay for songs, you know, then that's something we can do, you know, because none of us know, really. We're all kind of, you know, rabbit in headlights about the music world, you know.
It's so odd, isn't it? Like, never in a million years would you thought this would happen. Like, never, and never for so long. Even if when it first happened, the COVID thing, we thought, oh, it might be a couple of weeks or a month. And what is it, like 6 months later and we're still no sign of when everything's going to be back? Yeah. The video, for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, you've incorporated masks and everything into it. And the backing singers are somewhere else. Your guitarist is somewhere else. You're in a studio on your own, I assume. Very different way of doing a music video.
So I co-wrote the song with Dave Sturt from The Arrhythmics.
I listened to Brona Gallagher and the name dropping.
Did you hear that? There's a hole in the floor. So that's who the co-writer and producer is. And Dave and I did that together between Los Angeles and here. I met him in LA about 2 years ago. I was helping them out on a little demo that friends of mine were doing for a musical project that they were creating that he was working on them with. And, you know, we had a nice chat and a wee session that morning in the studio. And then he obviously said, oh, you've got a band as well. And I said, yeah, I have a band in Ireland. And almost check it out. Did you bring me a record? I said, no, I didn't actually. And I'm always a bit sort of, you know, Johnny Big Boots walking on somewhere over your record. You know, just you know, let people figure it out. If they want to listen to it, they can see it online. So he went and listened to it on Spotify or whatever, YouTube, and he goes, go on. He said, I really loved it. I was thinking, would you like to write something to me? So, like, I was sort of like, what? Like, you know, Bart Simpson eyes. I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, I'd love to write something. Why not? Are you busy? And I was like, well, when are you thinking? He was like, well, now. So we literally, the next thing I knew, he'd walk into the studio with his acoustic guitar.
Did you get musical training or did you learn how music just kind of from ear? Because there's so many people and they tell me that they never went to a music class in their life.
I tried to go to piano. My mum and dad sent me to piano lessons, but, you know, I have really bad concentration. You know, I'm still a bit like that, but the left-handed. So, you know, I didn't learn an instrument, so to speak, like that. But what I always did was listen to records. So my parents are huge soul, blues, rock and roll, and country fans. So we were listening to, you know, all the great Motown, the Stax, Bobby Gentry, Dolly Parton, Dawn Williams, you know, the Beatles. This was played in our house consistently, you know, Atlantic Records, Al Green, Aretha Franklin was played, you know, on a daily basis. That was my education. So there was no better education than actually listening to the great records that they played. So that's where my teaching was, you know.
So when it came to doing the commitments, you must have known every song off by heart. There was no bother to you.
Well, I knew a lot of them. I was pretty obsessed about it all. Yep, I did. I mean, that was my reasoning for wanting to be in the film, was because it was about soul music, and that's what my passion was. I had no real interest in anything else, to be honest. I mean, you know, it was soul music, then it was boys. Do you know what I mean?
Are people still saying "Ride, Sally, ride" to you?
Yeah, on a daily, well, not so much, but they just point to you and think that you're somebody's cousin and they realise it's you, yeah. But good crack.
Right, Sally, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Well,
not
listen.
Yeah, I get it every day.
Brona, how do you have the best hair in the industry? It is just amazing.
I have got the best hair. I do my own hair because I'm a hairdresser too. And my mum was a hairdresser when we were growing up in Derry, and I was trained as a hairdresser, so I just do my own barnet.
God, had I known that now, you could have been down here doing my hair.
You want to have seen the creatures that I have cut during this pandemic. I won't name any names, but I have seen like early man hairdos. I've gone in and sorted people out, masked up. Yep. There's been a few frightening moments. But I've sorted people out, and I'll be sorting people out next week as well, yeah.
You're joking me. You're still doing hair for people when they ask you.
Oh, I cut the hair. Oh, God, I cut everything. Gosh. Oh, I love doing the hair. I dye the hair, cut the hair. Don't perm the hair, because perm is not on. But if it comes back, I'll give it a go.
So I didn't think I'd be asking you this question, but Brona Gallagher, top tip for getting rid of frizzy hair.
The Iron Moroccan oil is great now.
Brona, hairdressing, music, acting, Only showing off now. This is something for the weekend. It's Classic Hits.